So I find it a little bizarre that we are in this spat that we are today, attacking one another. But let me throw the floor over to you, Rob, and maybe you can explain to me, what were you thinking?
That, Your Honor, is a leading question.
That's a leading question.
What were we thinking? Well, interestingly, Bob, in his opening speech, he said some nice things. He said, well, nice things, he said some things. First of all, that Brazil should not, I used your favorite word, cannibalize the American market. And they can do that because they have the RINs. I would like to remind you that you were doing exactly the same with us. You used the VTEC to get into the European market.
Not true.
Yeah, okay, that's what you said all the time, but the investigation showed that it was the case.
No, so, Rob, the investigation on the anti-subsidy case found that the subsidy had gone away, and that's why you lost the anti-subsidy case. What we're talking about is an anti-dumping case.
Now, hold on.
It's got to be real here.
Don't interrupt me all the time, because...
All right, I'll only interrupt you when I have to.
This is like watching tennis.
Now, the anti-subsidy investigation clearly established injury in our markets. Like, you don't want your factories to close, we don't want to do that either. We want to keep our people to have their jobs. So it's completely legitimate what we were doing. And you are spot on. It was a legal argument why, in the end, we lost that particular case, because the VTEC was abolished. You made that point already earlier, and we said, well, let's take the gamble. Maybe we lose, maybe we win. But on the dumping, you lost, and we won. So I see this
not
as...
Yet. No. It's still going on.
Well, no. I mean, the decision has been taken. You probably will need to go to Geneva to fight the EU, saying that they violate GATT rules. Well, that's you're entitled to do that. But I see this as a nice compromise. We lost something, you lost something, we won something, you won something. So let's bury this whole trade affair now, and let's move to things that are really, really important. So I agree with your statement that our governments should fight for us. They should not work against us. And that is the main challenge we're faced with.
Well, you're wrong in that the EU determined that there had been injury from the subsidies. They hadn't. They didn't, when doing that investigation, clearly establish that there had been product that had received the tax incentive that got to Europe. In fact, the tax incentive that was available was only available for ethanol produced here and sold here, because it doesn't go to producers, remember. It went to gasoline marketers, not our industry.
Absolutely.
Now, might there have been a trader or two that figured out some way to manipulate the trade code or the tax code and gain access to that? It's possible. But it was on the margins, and it would have been very small, which is one of the reasons why you lost the subsidy case. But you cannot dismiss the fact that when the EU began its anti-dumping investigation and they investigated 5 or 6 different ethanol companies, they found no evidence of dumping. But they want to ignore all of that. They weren't clear on what it was that they were investigating, whether it was fuel ethanol or beverage ethanol or industrial ethanol. They didn't do a proper investigation of the European companies to determine whether or not there was injury. In fact, quite frankly, they ignored everything that they had gotten in their investigation, and out of frustration that they had lost the subsidy case to what they viewed as a technicality, they decided to ignore decades, if not centuries, of trade law and just say, we're going to impose a countrywide anti-dumping subsidy, when that is a violation of WTO. It's a violation of every trade concept that has ever been established. If there's anti-dumping, you're supposed to impose a fee to penalize the company that's doing the dumping. You didn't find any, and you're penalizing everybody. And ultimately, you're penalizing your own consumers. Because here's the thing, Rob. Your own industry can't meet European demand, which is why for years Brazil was supplying 25% of your market. And when Brazil's the price of sugar started to go up, when the U.S. became the low-cost producer in the world, we began to make up that supply. If you can't meet your own supply, and you tell the U.S. industry you're going to have to pay 25 cents a gallon more in order to come in here, the only thing you're doing, Rob, is hurting your consumers.
Well, I totally disagree with that, Bob. I mean, we're not hurting the consumer at all because the consumer doesn't notice whether there is ethanol in the fuel or not, and certainly not at the pump. The price is not...
The consumer's going to notice the price.
No. It doesn't. That may work in the United States, but not in Europe. Forget it. But coming back on your subsidy story, if you think that there was no injury, why did you welcome the outcome of the investigation? Then you should have been consistent and say, you proved injury, but you were wrong. No, you said, we welcome the decision of the commission not to follow up on this one and to drop the case. Now, on the anti-dumping, we did not do the investigation ourselves. It was the commission. It was signed off by all the member states, and you know they're always very, very nervous if there are GATT rules involved, and they agreed. So now, if you're not happy, and I understand you're not very happy, there is another legal way to fight this.
Which is why I said don't think that you've won this yet, because the U.S. ethanol industry indeed is going to continue to fight it, and the American government is going to continue to fight it, because we're not going to watch the European Union unilaterally rewrite trade law. And I'll tell you what, we're likely to find support from other countries around the globe that are going to be equally concerned about the European Union taking an anti-dumping investigation and ignoring the investigation and deciding to put a countrywide tariff in place. Because if you can do it to the United States, you'll do it to Brazil. You'll do it to Canada. You'll do it to China if they ever get producing. And that's why we are going to continue to fight it as an industry and as a government.
Instead of spending your money on very expensive lawyers, maybe you should spend your money now on lobbyists working on the Hill, and we're going to do the same. So my proposal to you is, Bob, and I think I can reach you, I'm not sure, could be a risk, that we just bury this whole trade dispute and we will continue to fight what we really need to fight for, which is a bigger market. I mean, globally, I'm happy. Now, we can supply our market because we were underutilizing our own capacity, you know perfectly well, and the gap you're leaving is going to be filled by new plants that came on stream last year. So,
Scott, you wanted to weigh in, and then we'll switch topics here.
I did. Canada and the European Union are currently in the final throes of negotiations of a free trade agreement between the two countries or geographic areas. One of those things is an aggressive tariff reduction on biofuels. Our position is always going to be on the most open and accountable model for these types of trade disputes to be resolved. And I would posit that using our governments in negotiations is ultimately one of the best ways to solve these types of trade remedies. But tariffs, in any way, shape, or form, are just taxes on consumers domestically.
On that note, let's switch topics.
I'm sure.
Go ahead.
Maybe just one final point.
I don't know.
Because you raised it. Evidence to the contrary notwithstanding,